Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Krista St. Germain is a master certified life coach. She is a post-traumatic growth and grief expert. She is a widow, a mom, and the host of the Widowed Mom podcast. Welcome to the show, Krista.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure when anyone wants to talk about grief.
Well, there you go. Well, it's great to have you on. Tell us about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, school of hard knocks over here. It was not on my 5-year plan to become a grief coach at all. But basically, when I was 40, I had gotten remarried. Second marriage, first one kind of went down in flames. Second marriage felt like proof that you could be treated well and true love exists. And, you know, things just felt like they were on a really upward trajectory at that time. But he and I were coming back from a trip and I had a flat tire and he did not want to call AAA. Stubborn man that he was, wanted to change that tire himself. And in the process of doing that, a driver who we later found out had meth in his system and alcohol in his system didn't see us at all and crashed right into the back of Hugo's car. And so within 24 hours, less than 24 hours, yeah, the trajectory changed very dramatically. And I did have a really good therapist who I went straight back to. She had helped me through my divorce. But what I learned real fast is that everything I thought I knew about grief, not very helpful, not very accurate. And then I kind of found myself stuck after a while where I was okay. I was functioning, but I wasn't loving life again, you know? And so I started doing my own research. I joined a coaching program and fast forward quite a bit when I had kind of figured it out for myself, I decided I want other people to have an easier experience of grief than I did. And I don't want people to stop in that place of it's okay, but it's not great.
Oof. Well, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
And so you've been on this journey for the better part of 10 years.
Yeah, that was 2016 when Hugo died. So just hit 9.
Yeah. And what you thought you knew about grief then, it was nothing compared to what you knew when you started learning about it. And now 9, 10 years in, your perspective is ever evolving.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If I had the same experience now that I had had then, it would be night and day. Still painful, of course. Still awful, of course. But a lot less suffering, I think.
And a lot less suffering. Is there a right amount of suffering?
No. But there's so much suffering caused by misinformation, right? By trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. By having the wrong, and I say wrong, not in a moral sense, but an unhelpful goal or an unhelpful lens that I saw grief through, those things have shifted, right? Like my perspective of what grief is and what we're actually trying to do when we're experiencing it is very, very different now.
How do you mean?
Well, I came into grief knowing the 5 stages. That was all I knew. So I thought you're supposed to get to this place called acceptance, right? You're supposed to go through these kind of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then ultimately you end up at a place called acceptance and it's somehow like an end of the rainbow experience.
Did it.
Surely there will be some sort of gold star also when you get there. And yeah, it's just not at all what it was like, right? It's not at all what it is like. No, it's r rarely like that for anyone, but I didn't know that then. And so if you go through that whole experience and you're constantly measuring what you are experiencing against a standard that you have been taught that is not really useful or accurate, it's a recipe for suffering. So, am I angry enough? Right? Am I supposed to be feeling less happy than I am? Am I supposed to be feeling more sad than I am? Am I supposed to be, should guilt be part of this? Should it not be? Right? Why am I having all of these experiences that don't match up with denial, anger, bargaining, and depression? And what is even acceptance? Because yesterday I felt like I accepted it, but today, grief grenade, and now I don't feel like I have. So what does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Back to rage, sadness, every other human emotion that seems really far away from acceptance.
Oh my gosh. And also I was definitely a product of an environment that said the goal of life is to be happy. Right? That's what we're here for, is we're supposed to be happy. I don't believe that anymore. So in my mind then, the end result looked like not feeling sad. Well, I don't believe that at all anymore, right? We can experience all of the emotions. Why would I ever not want to be sad that this happened? But it also doesn't need to, dictate the course of my life or fuel all of my choices, but I can hold it within my experience, right? And value it for what it is. So.
If the goal of life is not happiness, what is it?
Well, for me, it's aliveness. I mean, I think everybody needs to come to their own conclusion, but for me, it's aliveness. And so that means the full range, the full breadth, the full depth of all of the emotions. And when I talk about grief, I'm not speaking of it just as an emotion. I'm speaking of it as natural human response to a perceived loss, right? It's the whole kit and caboodle, which can include so many emotions. But even grief, if we were just talking about it as an emotion, to fully feel and be present with that, to me is that's what we're going for. Happiness is nice, but it's not the point, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. I think that ice cream makes me happy, and if I drop my ice cream on the ground, then it makes me sad. So that's not my goal. Aliveness is a wonderful term.
Yeah.
I think that that's a wonderful term. And this idea that I'm benchmarking my experience or comparing my experience to these stages that are supposed to have get me to the place where I can once again pursue happiness. And this is all through the lens of you're working with somebody too, with the therapist. And I'm glad that this person was helpful, but I'm sure that there are so many people that are just, I certainly don't know, but I don't want to feel worse about myself if I'm doing grieving wrong.
Yeah, and there's just no such thing. But also, it's easy. I was like give me the A. I'm going to check all the boxes. I'm going to read all the books. I'm going to do grief right, as though that's a thing, right? But that's how I came into the idea of it, is that surely there is a right way to do it, and if I just read enough books, then I'm and also with very much slanted towards the productivity being the goal. I'm going to get through it as fast as possible, right? It's going to be as least disruptive as possible. I'll get right back to work because, everything's about achieving and accomplishing. You can see the narrative, right?
Which makes you happy.
Which surely makes you happy until you drop your ice cream. Yeah. So, wow, what a shift in 9 years. What a shift in 9 years. I don't see it that way at all, but I so get why so many of my clients come to it very similarly. Because they've had similar lived experiences and they were brought up in the same, marinating in the same soup of productivity is the goal and happiness is the goal and, get the A, check the box, do the thing. Oh,
Yeah.
and also feelings are problems.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a beneficial perspective. That's not going to help.
No. And then for women, also being coupled is the goal.
Right.
Right. So we come to it with that too, of like, how could I possibly love my life? If I attribute all of my happiness to the partnership or the coupleship, how can I possibly be in this world and do it solo? And it's a ton of stuff comes up.
Yeah. Well, the weight of expectations and assumptions and systems and everything else that's been piled on top of us, which is hard enough, just regular. And then you throw in tragedy, which definitely
But that's
exacerbates.
what I love about it though, right? That's what I love about it is like for me, this is the doorway that my clients get to go through to get to all that stuff. You know, and it's not an easy doorway to come through. I think there's lots of different paths that everybody's coming at it too, and this is how the people I work with get to it. We get to it through loss.
Yeah. That's a fascinating perspective that it's an opportunity to challenge everything that I've been doing my whole life. And is happiness really the goal? Is being with somebody that defines me, and I'm a husband or I'm a wife or however it is that I define myself or have rather, has that really served me? And while this is awful, it's an opportunity, or I'm totally misreading what it is that you just
No,
said.
you're right on it. It's an opportunity, but it's also it's not something we have to be grateful for,
Right.
right? It's not a superior option. It's just, okay, this is what I've been through. I get to choose what I want to make of it, and I get to decide who I want to be in it, and I get to decide who I want to be next and what I want my life to be about. So why not? Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. That's really interesting. I don't know that I've always viewed opportunities as positive things. And I don't know that I have. I'm just thinking about it now because what you said, it's like, yeah, okay. It's not like this cool opportunity, but it's an opportunity.
Yeah, which can also suck a lot, right? Like both can be true. I like to think of, so post-traumatic growth is something I'm really interested in. And I like to think of it as like, you know, a tornado comes and it knocks down your house. You didn't ask for it to come and knock down your house. You don't have to be happy that it came and knocked down your house, but it did knock down your house. Your house got knocked down. Okay, now what? Do I want to try to rebuild the exact same house I had? Do I want to adjust the design of my house in any way and take into account the things that I have learned through the life that I have lived in that house, right? And what the tornado taught me. And so to build a different house or to build the same house, either it's not about it being superior or inferior or somehow better or worse. It's just about humans have choices. And
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
For me, I want to be able to reassess and make that choice on purpose. But that doesn't mean I have to be happy that the tornado came or grateful that it came. It can still suck, and I can still design the house that I want to live in.
Yeah. What a wonderful metaphor that is. Tornado comes along. It's not a
I
good
live in
opportunity.
Kansas,
Or, well,
so
so there you go.
we have a lot of them here.
People get it. It is not a good opportunity or bad opportunity. It is an opportunity. And I think that a human superpower of ours is that we have choice. I get to choose how I think and respond and feel and to the circumstances of my life. Although I have no control over the circumstances of my life a lot of the time,
That's it.
I get to choose. And so it's an opportunity to learn and embrace that very, very powerful reality.
100% with you.
Post-traumatic growth is a term that I believe you've just introduced me to. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, isn't that surprising? I hear that all the time, and I had the same exact experience where I was like, wow, how have I never heard of that? So, and I think what baffles me about it is that it's been around since the 90s. Why don't more of us know about it? Why aren't we talking about this? I don't know, but I'm glad you're interested in talking about it. So, yeah, coined in the 90s, a couple of researchers at the time of this work started noticing that people who went through quote unquote traumatic experiences, which at the time were defined as kind of big T, like certain events were labeled as traumatic, not so much it being interpreted or, you know, as perceived by the person. But they were noticing that some people would go through a traumatic event and they would, their level of satisfaction with life or quality of life would drop and never recover. Some people would, it would drop and then it would bounce back to where it was. That was kind of what we thought were the two possibilities at the time. But they started noticing a third group that would drop, but then not just bounce back to where it was, their quality of life or life satisfaction would actually bounce forward. And they were reporting higher levels of quality of life and higher levels of life satisfaction. And not in spite of what had happened, but literally because of it, because of what they had decided to do in their lives after that thing happened. So started to maybe realize that they were more resilient than they thought. They had spiritual changes that they experienced or created for themselves. Relationship changes. Right? Maybe they stopped investing in the same people or started investing in people differently. They had a deeper appreciation for life, right? These kinds of things that people were experiencing, which then kind of reframed what was possible after we experience something traumatic, that we can actually use that trauma if we want. Again, not because we're grateful for it or happy that it happened, but it did happen. So who do we want to be given that it did? How do we want to live given that it did? Are we living a life that is aligned with what we value and who we want to be? And if we're not, what changes do we need to make so that we can do that even more? So for me, that partly looked like changing my career. Because I went, whoa, holy crap. If life is this short and precious, I've already been on the planet 40 years. Do I want to do this for a living anymore? I don't think I do. This is not really what I want to do. Not that it has to be that big, right? Post-traumatic growth can be things that other people don't even notice about us because they are just internal shifts. But it can be quite big, quite little, but result in a higher level of life satisfaction.
I could definitely see that. So you learned about this through your work, just living through this, educating yourself, trying to like, and do you feel like you naturally do that? You naturally focus on the growth regardless of this terrible thing just happened to me?
I have been oddly interested in self-help since I was a teenager. So not a surprise that I would read all the things. My impetus for doing that has changed quite a lot over my life, right? I think, you know, it comes much less from a hole that I'm trying to fill and more from a curiosity and a little bit more abundance now. But you know, I just went into this, like, I got to figure this out because what I thought I knew isn't helping. So what, I guess I'm going to start reading things. And so I started reading things and started listening to things and just kind of doing my own work really and figured out what worked for me and then take that and teach it to other people and let, not because it's prescriptive, but you know, because take what works and leave the rest, right? It helped me so I can help other people with it.
Yeah. I think just realizing or knowing that something exists, that post-traumatic growth, the practice of it, the study of it, that it's a thing, mm-hmm. is probably a really helpful thing for people who maybe they're scared to take those proactive steps because people will judge them. Oh, you've only mourned for 2 weeks and now you're out, you know, at the beach, you should be wearing black and crying in your study or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it gives people permission or I can see that people would feel just very guilty about moving on with their lives.
Yeah. And you know, every person has a different experience, but I do see for some, it normalizes what it is that they feel pulled to do. And for others, it feels like another thing that now they have to add to their to-do list. And they will kind of like come at it from a perspective of I should, which isn't particularly helpful. My hope is that people will just eventually come to it if it feels right to them and it feels like something that they want. But yeah, there are a lot of expectations that because we live in a culture that doesn't really feel very comfortable with grief, there are a lot of expectations that people internalize and a lot of things that they hear from other people that are super unhelpful about, you know, time healing all wounds and how much time needs to pass before you should live in a particular way or be happy or yeah, all that stuff. It's a little messy.
For sure. Should.
Ugh. Right?
Don't shit on me, Krista.
Don't. Yeah. Good times.
That is, yeah. Not enough time has passed. Too much time has passed. Just the right amount of time has passed. Who's to say? So, do we need community? Do we need support? This is all individual. Some people do it on their own. Some people need strong arms around them.
I think we want to give ourselves permission to do it in whatever way works for us. However, I say that, and I am speaking to the former hyper-independent me's of the world who only saw doing it alone. Mm-hmm. And I would say to that, give community a shot. I do think we heal faster in community. I do think there's so many benefits of being in community. Can we move from a state of hyper-independence to healthy dependence? I like that. But I don't think we want to be prescriptive, and I think we get into trouble when we say that, right? I see a lot of people telling people what they need to do in grief. You must be in a support group. You need to go to therapy. If you're not talking about it, it's a problem, right? And then people pass that along to their kids. Well, my kid's not talking about it. So is that a problem? They don't want to go to therapy. Should I make them, right? When we get into saying there's one better way, I think sometimes we cause ourselves more problems than, you know, we help ourselves. So can you let yourself ask genuinely what support do I really need next? What support do I really want next? What would feel really good to me next? And then go find that, knowing that it's a big world out there. And maybe the first thing you try isn't the thing. Maybe you need to try a few things first to find what it is that you need. Even if you're looking for community, you might not find the right one, you know, straight out of the gate. I wish if I could go back and give myself advice, I would tell myself to get in community faster. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much about what people go through in grief, they think is just them. And when you can see your experience reflected in other humans, and then you can go, oh, it's not, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not broken. This is what grief is like. I see myself in them. I see that. Oh, you, there's a lot of me tooing, right? We can just get rid of all of the obsessing about what's wrong with me. I just move on so much faster with how do I support myself given that this is what's happening? Not how do I make it my fault, but how can I actually get what I need here that would be helpful? I didn't see that until a long time later.
Well, I certainly think that makes a lot of sense. And I appreciate that you've decided to invest so much of your time and energy and effort and money and just all your most valuable resources into helping with this. So, and thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit about your story. Where can people learn more? Where can they find the podcast? How can they engage?
Yeah, coachingwithkrista.com is my website. So that's where all the everything lives, including the podcast, but really any podcast player is going to have it as well. It's called The Widowed Mom Podcast. I know that is super specific. So if somebody is a widow or not a widow, they just want to learn about grief and post-traumatic growth, you can still listen to the podcast and just disregard the widow part. It's fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Krista your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to coachingwithkrista.com. It's Krista, coachingwithkrista.com. And then check out the Widowed Mom podcast. And get the help that you need and explore post-traumatic growth and everything else that Krista's been talking about today. Thanks again, Krista.
Thank you.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.